KBNI Locker and our Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray is here. The man who really is going to lead the charge when it comes to the coverage of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders this week will be Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray. Let's start with the ride here. How'd it go, Britton? Locker says you were a great driving companion. I said, we'll see if Britton says the same about you.
He brought spits, and that's all I can really ask for. What's a six-hour drive. What's with
spits? What?
I don't know what it is, but driving and sun... What? Really? Sunflower seeds?
I've never understood sunflower seeds.
Oh, my goodness. You have to have them when you're on a road
it's
trip.
It's great. Listen, I liked my music. It was great to listen to James Duthie's The Beauties, that podcast. That was great.
I actually tweeted him. Thank you for reminding me. I sent him a tweet saying, hey, this is a great road trip podcast. Britton and I, we listened to music for the first, I don't know, half of the drive. And then the second half, we listened to Beauties because I knew about his book. And then we had him on last week and I'm like, I gotta look and see if that's on a podcast. And it is. He took sections of the first book. He took like, I think 12 of the stories. There's like 30 of them in that book.
Yes, there are.
And he did little produced 15-minute podcasts on them, and they were really well done. And I sent him a note saying, hey, this is a great – just I tagged him on it. So this is a great road trip. Listen, if you're driving around. And he thanked me and said, by the way, I just finished doing the same thing for – Certified Beauties, which is why we had him on the Green Zone, Jamie, last week, and they're up. So I took a look. So if you've been through Beauties and you're looking for another listen.
Certified Beauties,
yeah. So we'll have that on the drive home.
I'm glad you two got along for six. I was worried one of you was not going to be here when you got to Winnipeg. Although you just dropped Britton off at the stadium. He's locked out and you just drive away. Like, jeez.
Figured it out. I got this.
But let's start with the coaches' news conference. What's your takeaway from – you've only been to one of these, but what's your takeaway from head coach Corey Mace?
I mean, head coach Corey Mace, business as usual. They're treating it the same. They believe they have the group here, that confidence. I mean, a lot of questions were directed to Jason Moss, actually. Everyone wants to know about Davis Alexander and what do you do about him, all the questions around him. But it's just a lot – this one is a lot of introspective, right? Both guys on different journeys to kind of reach this point. Of course, Jason Moss was a head coach before, gets fired. Now another opportunity, Corey Mason, his first go-around. Kind of just what it takes to be a great head coach and to get the group here and how they're feeling about it.
I thought it was a bit hilarious when I think it was Jim Bender from the Canadian Press was like, how much time do you spend at casinos? And Corey almost like, Where are we going? And he was like, just all the gambling you did last week as a coach, like punting and kicking field goals. And
he thought he saw him at actual casinos.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't gamble. I think he did say my wife was watching. I don't gamble.
He's like, oh, Sean Lemon's on the Montreal Alouettes. So I don't know if you can talk about him. He didn't say that, but I was like.
So you've got two coaches that played.
Yep.
So they have extensive careers in football. Who has the most experience between the two of them in championship games? Jamie's digging.
That's real tough because Corey Mace has been to a lot of championship games as a coach.
I think it would be Jason Moss because Jason Moss was with Edmonton when Ricky he was the backup when Edmonton got there. And then he was the assistant for Toronto as a quarterback's coach when they got there. I think he was on the Ottawa staff.
So you're giving it to Moss. Country.
I think it's Moss.
How much does that pay off from a coaching perspective?
But it's pretty even. Like, it's not that it's
It's not very one-sided?
No. What's interesting, though, is, like, you asked Corey about the experience as a whole. Yes, the Riders haven't been here for 12 years, but they picked up a bunch of guys who have been to Grey Cups. Like, you look at Montreal was just here 2 years ago, so yes, they have a lot of Grey Cup experience, but so do the Riders. Yes, the team hasn't been here, but they went out and got the guys who have been here
to provide the experience.
And that's why now it's early in the week, but it still feels like business as usual. That's how this team's approaching. And having those veterans allow you to do that, because there's a lot of extra stuff these players have to deal with during Grey Cup week, extra media, a little bit more buzz around everything. But Corey Mace said he believes it will bode well that they have this experience. Yes, it's their first time here as a team, but in terms of individuals, guys know what to expect. Guys know how they have to approach each week. So I don't think the Riders are as much of an experience disadvantage as some people might think.
Yes. You hear people talking about a team, and you hear people talking about what constitutes a great team and a culture and how to build that and how it has to be authentic. And I get the sense, and I don't know if you have picked up on this, Britton, but you got two teams that have not manufactured a culture. It's there because it's authentic. And you've got it with the Riders. It's something that Corey Mace didn't build. He just sort of helped push it along. And you got the same thing on the Alouettes side of things. Do you give the advantage on it with that in mind to one team or the other?
No, I mean, Corey Mace, I would argue he did build it, right? This team was some dark days before that hiring of Corey Mace. There was a lot of anger.
Yeah, but it has to be authentic.
And frustration. But that's both these guys, authentic. They come across well. They were players in their own right. That's helped them build this culture, and players buy in so quickly. Obviously, with Corey Mace, he's the same guy. Jeremy O'Day said it. The same guy who I talked to on day one of the interview process is the same guy he is today. That is just who Corey Mace is. Jason Moss, even today, admitted he's kind of evolved as a head coach in terms of being more disciplined. He said, if I want to
That's
have a disciplined
emotional.
Team, I can't be undisciplined on the sidelines. And you can really see it this second stint around, right? In Montreal, there's no Gatorade containers going flying there was
the
back in Edmonton, right?
Smashed.
So he's grown, but in terms of culture, very similar, because these guys are both business-like, both players who are just themselves.
Britton Gray, Green Zone Rider Reporter, is going to have you covered wall-to-wall coverage all week long. He's going to be everywhere the Riders are. Britton Gray is going to be this week bringing you the information you need, including a fast dash to Winnipeg to be at that coach's news conference earlier today. But not too fast. Don't want to alert the Mounties. Okay.
Speed limit.
It was the coaches' news conference. There was a player availability today. It was a very limited player availability. But how is the team adjusting to all of this out of their element to get ready for the biggest game of their life?
Just confidence. This team believes in themselves, and part of that does come with that championship experience we mentioned. But just this team all year talks about the closeness in that locker room, how close they are, the family atmosphere. Playing with your friends is how I think AJ Allen put it when we talked to him. This is a team that's close and has that belief. And as Micah Johnson told me a couple weeks ago, this locker room feels like championship teams he's been a part of. And that leads to having this confidence like, yes, we can go in and beat anyone and win this Grey Cup this season.
Did you get a sense, or did you get a heads up on any other changes with the schedule? Because they have been shifting things around a little bit.
Not yet. We're up early enough to make sure we make it to whatever changes get thrown our way.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the Riders practice first today, and then they changed it to the Alouettes, and the Riders went in the afternoon. Did they do a walkthrough or anything today, or was it
just showed up.
Limited media availability?
Just limited availability from what I was able to see.
Yeah, it was.
Corey Mace sounded like he was in really good spirits.
Confidence. I'll say it again. This team doesn't feel like a team that hasn't been here in 12 years. Confident group. That starts with Trevor Harris as well.
Yeah.
He's been around long enough. He knows how to approach it. We've talked about Corey Mace, Trevor Harris, the effect they have on that locker room. And I think that is going to pay major dividends during this week.
We also found out in the coaches' news conference, Corey Mace wants the salary cap for coaches to be eliminated. Correct?
Yeah, Jason Moss agrees. Both coaches say, just get rid of it. And when asked to expand on that, nope, just get rid of it.
Just get rid of it. Well, to try to retain their guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'd love to offer you a raise. You deserve one. But under the coach's cap, sorry.
Who institutes that? Well, that's the league.
That was the league. That.
Why would they like?
They did it because a lot of people blame the Rough Riders for it with the Chris Jones, because Chris Jones went crazy with his football operations budget. Now, could you have capped it at a higher limit? I think absolutely you could, but that was it. Everybody was like, "Oh, Chris Jones and the Riders can pay all this money. We can't afford that." And the Board of Governors, and maybe it'll change with Stuart Johnston, right? A lot. If you haven't noticed, there's a lot changing as Stuart Johnston, as the commissioner of the Canadian Football League. The State of the League address with the commissioner is on a Friday. So
last week we didn't think that was going to happen. You know what? I think it got.
No, it was going to happen.
It wasn't on the schedule.
No. The State of the League with the media was always going to happen. It's the fan event that wasn't going. There's two
separate
things.
It's
been altered, yes. There is no. There used to be a fan State of the League where it was a big ballroom and it was first come, first serve for the seats, and the fans would line up around the corners. They're not doing that. It's the first 150 people with a Grey Cup ticket to RSVP to an event on Saturday, I think it is, get to have.
I'm glad he's doing it. Because when I saw when there was a possibility that might not happen, I was like, that does not look good on you, Stu.
No.
You got to face, you know.
Yeah, he has to. And he'll be around. Trust me, the commissioner's not going to be in an armored vehicle all week avoiding fans.
No.
He wouldn't do that. As we are here.
We're still tomorrow, Canadian.
Practices start tomorrow. What are you looking from Riders practice tomorrow, Britton?
Keyshawn Johnson. Is he going to be back or not? And if he's not, who do they give that start to? If Joe Robustelli is hurt, based on that, I have a feeling it might be
that
a concussion when you look at that.
That was rough.
He might be back, might not. But if it's not either of those two, is the guy like Dale Duncan Busby they go to? A Joe?
Yeah.
What could happen? That's the most intriguing thing because, hey, the Riders, for the most part, as far as I know, are very healthy heading into this Grey Cup.
We'll see. Practice tomorrow, the first one of the week for the Riders and the Montreal Alouettes. It's also media day tomorrow. It's a busy one. Awards on Thursday, the Commissioner's State of the League on Friday, and, of course, walkthroughs and everything else going into game day on Sunday. Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray will have you covered all week long, of course, on social media at Green Zone SK, at Britton Gray. Online, cjme.com, ckom.com, and here with us live from Winnipeg as we will bring you all the coverage you need to know right here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Jamie and Locker with you on this Tuesday afternoon on the Green Zone live from Winnipeg. We will be live all week long bringing you what you need to know from Grey Cup Central ahead of the Rough Riders and the Montreal Alouettes. Grey Cup Sunday coming up. 5 o'clock is the kickoff. We've kind of gone through the schedule, probably like 15 minutes or so after the 5 o'clock. But the Green Zone pregame show on Sunday will be at 3 o'clock. Coach's news conference went. We'll play some highlights of that in just a little bit. Also, Matthew Schenetti joined us on the future of Trevor Harris.
Yeah.
I was very curious because Matthew is one of the best reporters at game. And what Matthew does better than I think anybody?
Disarms guys.
He disarms them, but he gains the trust of the players. Trust Matthew to tell their stories.
Yeah.
And tell them with accuracy.
His interviews are good, but his sideline stuff is awesome.
He genuinely builds. He's friends with some of the with a lot of the quarterbacks and stars of the Canadian Football League with his work at TSN. So he knows Trevor Harris and Bo Levi Mitchell, and wanted to know his thoughts on what if Trevor wins this week? What is his future? Like, I wasn't thinking, I was like, bring him back as the quarterback. And now I'm thinking, is he just going to go? He watched Henry do it. He was the backup when Burris won and then rode off into the sunset.
Yeah.
So would Trevor do the same? We asked Schenetti about that. So We want to bring you the highlights of pretty well day one of Grey Cup week with the coaches' news conference.
And we're here all week.
Here on the Green Zone, yes. We got a lot of guests coming your way and the stars of the Canadian Football League all week long.
Let me know how long that lasts. Every time I hand my credit card to somebody, and this joke doesn't get old for me, but I get varied responses. When it goes through, I go, fooled them again. So good luck.
The good luck with that. Rookie dinner tonight.
Well, rookie dinner. All right. Yeah. 55-year-old rookie dinner.
Yeah. Rookie's a rookie. Just saying. Well, of course, day one, we're live in Winnipeg. We're going to be live all week. And
so far, so good.
We want to bring you the highlights, so to speak, of day one. Of course, it opened up with the coaches' news conference, and the question of the coaches' salary came up to Corey Mason.
Get rid of it.
I'll second that. So,
I mean, is there a better, do you have ideas about a better way, I mean, than just getting rid of it? And maybe that is your answer, but.
That is my answer.
Get rid of it. This, of course, the coach's salary cap came in under Randy Ambrosi, and it has impacted, I believe, the quality of the game at the start of the season. Like, what do we see in the CFL? The last 8 weeks of the CFL, 10 weeks, has been outstanding football, down to the wire, big games, yeah, big plays. But because they put a cap on football operations in the Canadian Football League, they've taken away a lot of the off-season stuff to get ready for the season so they can afford the stuff that happens in season.
Yeah.
And so instead of starting on first base to get your team all the way to home this week, it's like you're starting in the not even in the batter's box.
Yeah.
You're on deck. You're in the on-deck circle at the start of the season. So it's got to maybe not get rid of it, but something has to happen.
And you have people that are jumping into the CFL now. You've got new eyes and ears on the league, myself included, and I've been learning this game, and I learned bits and pieces here and there. And it is interesting to see somebody like a Luke Wilson, who has experience in the NFL, and then coming and covering the CFL and having an appreciation for football as a whole, yep, and then learning about sort of the intricacies of the game and going, hold on, you do what? You mean you can't get together before the season and do this, this, and this? That doesn't make any sense. What are you guys doing?
Yep.
And then finding out the reasons why, and you can see that he's started that conversation as well. Listen, he's not the only one reporting on the CFL, but it's just interesting. A new perspective, new eyes and ears on the game is highlighting some of the warts,
yeah,
for absolutely, a lack of a better word, for it. And it'll be interesting to see with somebody who is here, whose mandate is to impact change on the game. He's not afraid of it.
Well, here's one. Instead of getting rid of the 55-yard line, salary cap probably should have been the first one to go.
This could be a crazy week for announcements about potential changes to
Jamie. I'm interested to see what
could
more.
Could be a wild week.
Stewart might come up on Friday and say, oh, yeah, we're doing this too.
Gone.
Darrell Davis would streak Albert Street. He'd be on the Green Mile 48 hours early.
If you do see that man streaking Albert, please get tape for us, okay? Just pull out a phone quickly.
Phones everywhere. Well, don't think we'll have to worry about that. But, of course, the other big storyline this week is it's Davis Alexander.
Yeah, this week it'll be probably four or five treatments a day.
That is the quarterback of the Montreal Alouettes. So Corey Mace was asked how he preps for that.
We go into it looking for the best version of everybody, man. It's, at this point of the year, this game, it's easy for guys to sacrifice a lot, whether it's, their time, obviously, but, everybody's banged up. But if you're on the field, the coaches, the team, everybody's got faith in you. And I think, you know, teams that make it to this point, they got faith and belief in each other. So I'm expecting the best version of Davis, and that's the only way we, you know, we can approach it from that standpoint. But, you know, like he's saying, quarterback's got to be prepared for all three. Defensively, we got to be prepared for anything as well.
Now that was head coach Corey Mace at the coaches news conference earlier today as we bring you some of the highlights from our first day in Winnipeg with our live broadcast here on the Green Zone. You will hear us live all week leading up until the Green Zone pre. Well, we'll be live after
we're on the ground. We got Britton hitting every available.
Wherever the Riders are, Britton.
Yeah.
He's there. And he will, of course, have you covered all week long, as he has all season long. We had Matthew Schenetti on earlier, the great CFL on TSN sideline reporter, and something's been brewing with both of Locker and I have been thinking about this. And after that win, and here it's our time stuff from Trevor, and earlier in the season, Trevor said something. He's like, it was the Labor Day game. He talked more about, you know, it's just.
He's more reflective.
Got to soak it in. You don't know how many more of these you have left. And and we asked Matthew Schenetti, if he wins the Grey Cup on Sunday, would you see Trevor Harris riding off into the sunset?
I have been very blessed since I started covering the league in 2011 to see perhaps one of the greatest generations of CFL quarterbacks. Travis Lule, Mike Riley, Bo Levi Mitchell, Zach Collaros, and Trevor Harris. Of all of them, the one guy who takes care of his body better than anyone else, the one guy who has refined himself again and again more than anyone else. The one guy who, yes, he has a confidence and a bravado, and it is quiet and it's behind the scenes, and though it peaked out a little bit during the week last week when he was talking about this being Saskatchewan's time and not Nathan Rourke's time, Trevor Harris wants this. He wants this more than anything else. I watched him in 2012. I was in the Argos locker room when he was the third-string quarterback, and he was elated to win the 100th Grey Cup. He really was. In 2016... I'm sure if he and I were being honest with each other with a few adult beverages, yes, he was happy that the Red Blacks won and certainly was happy in the moment for Henry Burris. I don't doubt that. But I also know he was disappointed in Rick Campbell's decision, because if you look back at that 2016 season, the guy who played a ton and really helped Ottawa get to where they were was Trevor Harris. He has gone to four or five different franchises. He has thrown over 4,000 yards in multiple franchises. Four franchises, I believe. No one has done that in CFL history. He is the most accurate thrower, if not top three, in CFL history. We used to talk about, oh, Trevor Harris can't get it done in the playoffs. He owns several playoff passing records in terms of accuracy. He is undeniably a part of that great class that I talked about. But a Grey Cup win would cement his legacy. A championship does for anyone. But for him, knowing not so much that he doesn't rate himself alongside his peers and a Grey Cup would put him at the same table as those guys I just mentioned. No. He knows he belongs there. He knows he's as good as those guys. And those guys know that he is as good as them too. But a Grey Cup win, especially as the starting quarterback of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, would absolutely cap off his career. And I wouldn't be surprised, Jamie, if after that he rides off into the sunset.
It'll be something to watch.
Wow.
First things first, he's got to win on Sunday before that conversation. And there might be a conversation after the season on this one. Dave Naylor's going to join us tomorrow about more of the rumors going around. Of course, Mike O'Shea interviewing for jobs. But Bo Levi Mitchell's another one. Was that it for Bo?
You see him on the sidelines?
Do you think it was?
Yeah, that looked like a man that was deep in thought and evaluating where he was. He stood there for quite some time.
What an offseason. Talk about the coaching changes. You're thinking about Bo retiring, and then potentially if Trevor Harris wins, would he think about retirement? There's some major QB positions that would come open. But the toughest question Locker and I asked anybody today here on the Green Zone was the head coach of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, who played 15 years for the Montreal Alouettes, who's a Sasky boy, who the Rough Riders Foundation supports heavily with his football program. Who is Scott Flory cheering for in the 112th Grey Cup?
I thought that this might come up, you know. Listen, I support them both. I think that, listen, I obviously
let him off the hook. No, I'm going to tell you, if there's a guy in the toughest spot right now, it's Scott Flory with this game because of the Rough Riders Foundation and Cindy Fuchs and all the Rough Riders do for the Huskies and raising money. But he's won championships with the Montreal Alouettes. Well, I do not envy you, Scott. At all.
And the other thing is, too, he knows we have fun with audio, too, so we're recording this.
No, honestly, like, obviously, as a player, I spent 15 years there. I was out of training camp, and I was still good friends with a lot of people there and played with Jason Moss and Anthony Calvillo and Luc Bourdeau-Jourdain, and Danny Machocha was one of my coaches. So, obviously, there's a lot of, you know, I mean, I played 15 years out there. You know, on the other side of the coin, though, man, the level of respect that I have for Craig Reynolds, Jeremy O'Day, Corey Mason, just friendship with those men as well is, and you're right, what that foundation does is amazing. Cindy Fuchs is top class, top shelf. Like, it means so much to our program. So they are both world-class organizations, no doubt about it. And, yeah, maybe they'll end in a tie. Hey, you never know.
Scott can only hope. Yeah, Scott Flory, but we're all cheering for Scott Flory this weekend in the University of Saskatchewan Huskies as they host the Mitchell Bowl on Saturday at Griffith Stadium. They will be taking on Queens. Well, maybe not all of us. You have some Queens ties.
I've got a lovely bride who still has a Queens jacket. She still wears it.
That's her alma mater, Locker. She should still wear it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We planned a trip this year, Jamie. We had to cancel it because of the airline strike. Remember, I was going to go away? We were going to go. We had a whole Kingston trip planned, and we were going to go and check out the bar. She first saw the Tragically Hip Inn. We're going to go to where
now people are realizing why your dog's name is Kingston.
Well, a big Tragically Hip fan, but also my wife went to school there, and she's got a business degree from Queen's University.
So your wife might be the one person who's not cheering for the Huskies in Saskatchewan.
And I will allow it. I will allow it.
Yeah, we will. It's your alma mater. We get it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Huskies take on Queens on Saturday, Griffith Stadium, 2 o'clock. And, of course, they win. Vanier Cup is next week in Regina. Yeah, the football never stopped. Well, it will stop after the Vanier Cup. Oh, then there's the NFL. But in Saskatchewan,
you got to tell me about this pancake breakfast.
Friday morning at the multi-purpose room.
This is new to me.
University of Regina. Of course, Regina's hosting the Vanier Cup. Locker and I emceeing that one. Kind of like the rally, the get a gear up for the weekend. We will have either the Quebec or Atlantic Canada representative out of the UTEC Bowl against either the Ontario or Canada West champion out of the Mitchell Bowl. And those two teams will collide in the University Championship Vanier Cup next.
How many Vanier Cups do the Huskies have?
Oh, you're going to put me on the
spot?
On the spot like that? Is it five, ladies and gentlemen?
Four or five, right? We've looked this up before. I think I've done this to you before.
Three. So
they've got three. Okay.
Three. They've been to six.
All right.
Well, maybe more than that. Yes, they have
three. Vanier
three.
All right.
90, 96, 98. Scott Flory was a member of some of those Vanier Cup championship teams. They're trying to add another one this year with Scott Flory at the helm. There's some of your highlights. Check out the podcast all week long. You can find them cjme.com, ckom.com.
Locker on the Loose.
On Locker on the Loose coming up. Check out our social medias this week. But I know we've already talked about the chumps. We've got chumps coming up next here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, champs and chumps here on the Green Zone, the chump. Hey, Locker's favorite chump. Gary Bettman.
Oh, come on, though. No, that's – what are you doing? You're putting him in the hall.
You put him in the Hall of Fame, and he had a little slip-up last night in his induction.
His nickname's Jumbo.
Jumbo Joe, and he called him Dumbo, like the elephant with gigantic ears.
Is Bettman – is Gary starting to slip a bit?
Dumbo. Joe handled it pretty well. So
yeah,
our champ
roll.
Our champ is our host here at the Hyatt South in Winnipeg. We showed up, and they had a wheel to spin for
prizes.
Well, I had
no idea what she was asking me to do. She was like, spin the wheel. And I'm like, okay, why? She goes, just spin. I spin it. Jamie comes around the corner, and she goes, what'd you get? And I went, an executive prize pack.
And I was so excited.
Jamie.
I was like, he got the same thing you got. I'm like, that's awesome. Let's go. So the executive prize pack, she's like, so when I got it, I was the first one here because I flew Champ to WestJet, up, down, hour, whoo, smooth flight. Yeah. And she's like, what pop do you want? And I said, Dr. Pepper. She said, for all four? And I went, what? She's like, you get four pops. And I'm like, okay. Two doctors, and then she's like, what, and pick up four chocolate bars and pick up four bags of chips. And I'm like, whoa. Well,
okay, we got another chump, too, because Britton shows up.
And he didn't
did you spin the
wheel?
And he goes, no, I told him I didn't want to do it. And I'm like, go back down right now and spin that wheel. You could fill your room up with junk food.
I'm like, go back down there. What are you doing?
He's like, I'm not spinning a wheel. I'm like, I got four chocolate bars, four bags of chips, four pop.
We both did. What a way to start off Grey Cup week. Yeah. You want to know what media guys love more than anything? Free food
free
and beverages.
Food. Yeah.
And we are there. Want to hold a popular news conference? Tell us there's food.
And
we will
bar.
Show up.